today we have a very special guest with us, and we just grown to love this guy. He's a little bit crazy, but that works real good here. And so so we're just glad to have Seth here today, and he's just going to come and share with us, and I think it's beautiful timing. So let's welcome him. Why don't you stand with me, and let's welcome Seth today. Come on, let's give him a big hand.
Thank you, guys. You're the ones that sleep in, huh? We had a good morning already. It's been fun. We'll just keep having fun. You guys doing well? Yeah? Well, I'm from California. If you weren't here last time, I was here, what, Marvin, a couple years ago? 2 years ago? Oh, yeah, my Facebook said 2 years ago. I think it was almost exactly 2 years I was in Gretna and here. I think. I was in Gretna at least exactly 2 years ago. So I'm from California, and I work at Bethel Church in Redding. I'm going to show you a little picture of my family in a second because it's Family Matters, family series, right? Have you guys been here for the whole thing? All right. So I just get to jump right in and be part of that. Let me show you. Will you put up a picture of my family so you can get to know me a little better? There they are. They're amazing. This is my wife, Lauren. My daughter, Brooklyn, she's 7. August is almost 5. And baby Arrow, he is 15 months. My gosh, that boy. He's at 6 months old. He caught whooping cough, which if you know about whooping cough, it's not fun. It can kill children. And he caught whooping cough, and we had to fight that thing. We didn't sleep for like 2 months with him or something like that. The craziest thing happened. I'll tell you a little secret. We took him to the doctor to get antibiotics, and he got worse. And then we found out antibiotics don't treat symptoms of whooping cough. And with whooping cough, the only thing that's really scary is the symptoms, because they cough till they can't breathe, and they're whooping and can just like pass out and die. And so the symptoms are the scary part, but antibiotics don't treat the symptoms. And my wife found a doctor who treats whooping cough on babies with vitamin C, and we started pounding him with vitamin C, and within 18 hours he had zero symptoms. And so we're actually creating a vitamin C. We found all these manufacturers. We've been doing all this research. The human body is the only mammal that does not generate its own vitamin C, and you have to get it from food. Unfortunately, most of our food contains hardly anything it's supposed to. As soon as you cook things that have vitamin C, it kills it all. Chocolate is one of the most highest vitamin C things on earth. But when you cook it, it loses it. So you have to have raw cacao in order to have high doses of vitamin C. So we're creating a scientific and a natural, we're combining science and nature to make vitamin C. It's awesome. It'll be on Amazon sometime soon. I will. It saved our son's life. I'm so thankful for vitamin C. It saved his life. That was a little side note. So he's still alive. He's happy. He's good. We sleep now. We don't have to stay awake all night with this crazy cough. But that was scary for a while. A couple things to be aware of. I have my own website, sethall.com, that has blogs and fun stuff and on there and resources. And then on Facebook, I do a lot of family teaching, parent teaching, life teaching. I just do stuff on Facebook, quotes and all kinds of stuff. I also, what I've been doing lately is asking questions and letting people just answer. So like the other day I said, what's the most important thing a new believer needs to know? And people, hundreds of people just write on there. And so there's all these questions that you can like, it's really cool. Like I said, what's one key you have to getting through a hard time successfully? And people just pounded that one. Like, here's what I do when I'm not in a good spot. And then one guy asked me, he said, Seth, are you asking for you or are you just asking for us? I said, well, right now I'm not in a hard time. I'm doing okay. But guaranteed, when I am in a hard time, I'm going to come back here and read all these and pick what resonates in my heart. So there's lots of wisdom going on Facebook. Then Instagram, Seth Dahl, and Facebook are both Seth Dahl. And then Lightworkers is a really cool website. It is MGM Studios in Hollywood calls me up out of nowhere and says, hey, we're building a Christian website that we want to reach young millennial families and millennials. And it's all the content is 6 minutes or less. There's a bunch of people involved, and we would like you to be the face of faith and family. Would you like to do that? I said, yes, please. So I've filmed all these videos. I hired Bethel TV. We filmed all these videos on family and stuff. So only two of them are out right now. Actually, no. On lightworkers.com, I think they're all out. On Facebook, there's only two of them right now. But the website just did a soft launch, so you can go on it now. This month, it just launched, and it's amazing. I also did these other videos where I just they paid me money to play with my phone, which is like a dream come true for me. As I like hold up the phone and make these little videos. I made videos in Siberia, videos in Ireland. I did one video at where the Titanic was built in Belfast. The Irish love it. They're like, we built the Titanic and the English sunk it. So they just give them trouble. They're like, the Irishmen built it, the Englishmen sunk it. But I did a little video there, and it's really fun. Which reminds me, I need to do a video with one of you here, because I'm still making videos when I travel. It's really, really cool. But there's so much good stuff on Lightworkers. Like, there's business stuff on there. There's all kinds of... there's that one guy with no arms and no legs. Have you ever seen that guy? He's on there. He filmed some videos for them. So there's really powerful stuff on that website. I'd encourage you to go check it out. Let's give some stuff away. You like free stuff? Yeah. All right. This is... called Let the Little Children. It's a sermon. These little sermons are $4, and you just download them on your phone or your computer. But this is a bunch of miracle stories. Like, I think the story of the boy, we had a boy who had seizures. He was having 10 seizures a day at one point every day. And I think I told this story maybe last time I was here. It's been 4 years. This kid's never had a seizure. He came to our church. And his mom was like, our kid's having seizures. The doctors can't help him, can't do anything about it. They don't know what they're doing. The medicine's not helping. It's slowing it down, but he's having seizures every day. His dad's in Afghanistan, and that's when it started, and they can't figure out why. So we're coming to your kid's church for the kids to pray. I'm like, okay. And I was really scared. And he comes in, and he runs up to me. We're praying for somebody else. He yells in kids' church. He's like, pray for me. I have seizures. And he runs over, and I'm like, okay. And I had like 1 minute to pray. I had 1 minute before we were going to pray for him. I'm so scared. And I'm like, oh, Lord, help. I don't know what to do. And I see this vision of Jesus 1,000 feet tall. And Jesus looks down and he goes, oh. So I decide to look and see what he's looking at. And I look down and there's a little ant walking in front of Jesus. And the ant has the word seizures on it. And Jesus goes like this. So I told all the kids, and when the kids prayed, this is what we prayed. This boy was having seizures, 10 seizures a day, all night long, all day. And we just put our hands on the boy, and we said, this is how the kids prayed. Seizures. We treated seizures like they were an ant. See, most people don't see sickness and disease clearly. Because you can't see anything clearly until you see him. And when you see how big he is, you see everything else and how small it is. So the kids are like, seizures, leave him alone in Jesus' name. That was the prayer. And then we all went like this. We just did what we saw Jesus doing. We just went like this, right? Boy, never had a seizure since. 4 or 5 years later. I think that story is, there's a bunch of miracle stories in here and a bunch of theology about how to let children come into the presence of God and stay in the presence of God. So I'll give that one away in a second. This one is called Living Untouchable. It's about Samson. How many of you know if Samson had just protected one thing, he would have been untouchable and unstoppable to every enemy he faced, ever. He was a beast. Kills 1,000 Philistines, soldiers. No weapon, just a jawbone of a donkey. Like this dude was bad. Until he stopped protecting the one thing he was supposed to protect, his hair. His hair was the source of his strength. His hair was the source of a strength so strong, no enemy could touch him. For us, It's not hair that's the source of our strength. Nehemiah 8:10. The joy of the Lord is our strength. If Christians would learn to protect the joy of the Lord like Samson was supposed to protect his hair, nothing could touch us. As soon as we start getting grumpy, we start getting weak.
Amen.
The devil does not want you to have joy. Amen. He's the most depressed being ever. And he will do anything to make you depressed. Because he wants you like him.
That's right.
He doesn't want you like God. He wants you like him. God is the happiest being ever. God is joy. Why? Because God is, he is joy. David said, restore to me the joy of your salvation. That means joy comes with salvation. That means if we're not joyful, part of the problem is we forgot how saved we actually are. How do you recognize a person who knows they're saved? Why? Because, oh, the joy, oh, the bliss. Oh, how blessed are those whose sins are covered. Man, that's just a good word right there. God wants Christians to be Samsons again. Amen. God wants all of us to be Samsons. He's got us here to destroy an enemy and take back countries and do all kinds of fun stuff, but we're like just buzzing our heads all over the place. Look, we have to refuse to delegate our level of joy to any circumstance. I'm sorry, my bank account does not decide how joyful I am.
Amen.
My job does not, how things are going at my job does not decide how joyful I am. My God, my job is not my God. My bank account is not my God. Wow, man, that's a good word. My bank account is not my source of joy, and so it cannot be my source of depression. Wow. Whatever you let become your source of joy becomes your source of depression. If it can give you joy, it can take your joy.
That's good.
He is supposed to be our source, not things. The King is our source, not things. Man, that's just good. Shoot. Pastor Seth, that was really good. Thank you. So Living Untouchable, I have two messages out there on joy. You better grab them quick because I don't have very many of these, though. But you can get them at SethDahl.com if we run out. This is called The Disconnected Dad. It's a podcast. It's totally free. You just go on iTunes, click subscribe. Then you should just rate it and review it right there after you listen to a couple. You should review it and rate it so it pushes it up. At one point, it was number 13 on family stuff, and I got to reinvent it a little bit. We're just going to make it a 30-day journey and not have a bunch of other stuff. So it's going to be a 30-day journey. That's basically what it is. I just have to take away a couple things. But basically, I got a prophetic word from a friend who said, I see you at a beach house for a month, and the door to the beach house says no Wi-Fi. And I went back to my hotel, and I said, God, I can't afford to go to a beach house for a month right now. I would like that, but I can't. But then he said, well, what if you just tried no Wi-Fi? Maybe your house will become like a beach house. All right. So I turn every time I was with my family for a month, I put my phone on airplane mode. Just turned it completely off. I took a couple pictures here and there, but I didn't use any. I didn't even text people. I didn't check my email. I didn't go on Facebook. I didn't do Instagram. I did nothing. I dropped off. I didn't even check the news. At one point, I remember saying in the podcast, I said, I have absolutely no idea what's going on outside of the real people in my life. And it feels so good. Yeah. Now, please make sure you hear me. I'm all about making sure we know that Irma is over there and all kinds of, you know, like that's important stuff to know. But when that's all you know, pretty soon you live your whole life like you're right in the middle of Irma, even though it's hundreds of miles away.
Amen.
And we can care about everything and we can do our stuff, of course, of course. Unfortunately, most people are living like they're stuck in the eye. Like Florida evacuated, you went right to the middle of the hurricane. You drove right into the middle. Why? Because you just live on the news. Wait, not you. A lot of people live on the news. I remember saying, wow, it feels so good to not have to sift through everybody's opinion on social media. You know how many ungodly opinions there are that we have to sort through? And you know how easy it is for us to be affected by other people's opinions and perspectives and stuff? It's like, man, you can't find God's perspective because there's so many other ones we're trying to scroll through. God, where'd you go? Oh, you're still here. I just can't feel you or see you right now because I'm so busy trying to dodge all those opinions I'm watching. Hello. Man, I did not know I was addicted to my phone. I thought I was doing good. I was doing good. Then I just got really better. So this is a 30-day challenge to disconnect from your phone for the purpose of reconnecting with your family. And they're really, really good. So Pastor Marvin, you need to give this to whoever you want. This Living Untouchable, we should give it to someone who's just a grump. Find a grump and give it to him. Chris Valentin is so funny. He holds up his book, Spirit Wars, about just spirit realm and spirit wars, and he gives it away and he says, here, go give this to someone who's demon possessed. It's so funny. I'm like, mine's just give it to a grumpy person, and then you need to give this to someone that really got a problem with their phone. Just give it to him. Tim, that's for you, Tim. That's the joy one. That's the grump. Yes. There you go. He's just messing with you. You should keep that one.
I'll keep the grump.
All right. We're just messing. I know, see? She knows. All right, I have a kind of a weird question. Did anybody have a dream recently that you were riding a bike with a bent rim? I know, it's a weird question. Did anybody, like, just think about it. You had that dream? You were riding a bike with a bent rim. Will you stand up? What's your name?
Jesse.
Jesse. How long ago did you have the dream? About a week ago. What color was the bike? Do you remember?
Red.
It was a red bike with a bent rim. Stay right there for a second. Did anybody else have a dream like this? A car with a bent rim, or a motorcycle with a bent rim, or some kind of vehicle with a bent rim? Did anybody else have a dream with a bent rim? Jesse, you're going to stay standing because I got something for you, but I feel like there's an adult as well that may have had something similar to that. Don't come up to me later and tell me you had it. Now's your chance. One time I did this in our church. No one stood up. I called out street names. I'm like, I'm going to take a risk and call out street names. They live on this street, da 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 da. And no one stands up. Four people afterwards, I lived on that street. You guys. Jesse, let me just see. God wants you to know, like, the sense I had was there's, like, God doesn't want to just fix things that aren't working well for you. God wants to replace them. Like, God wants to take the wheel off and put a brand new wheel on so that you can ride your red bike. And I feel like this bike for you has special significance of what you're here to do and why you're on the earth, that it's a bike that's designed for you to learn balance, and you're a very balanced child, but it's designed, like, bikes are way more intense than cars, because cars you just sit, but a bike you have to learn to balance and you have to pay attention and you have to focus, but eventually it becomes so normal and so natural that you just do things by yourself that you don't even have to think about anymore. And I feel like you're in a place where God is teaching you how to balance, where he's teaching you how to do school, and he's teaching you how to do family, and he's teaching you how to do fun, and he's teaching you how to do serious all at the same time, and he's teaching you how to not have too much fun and forget the important stuff, but he's also teaching you how to not get so locked in important stuff that you forget to have fun, and he's teaching you how to balance and be a really healthy young man. But the red bike symbolizes for me that you're here to bring the message of Jesus to people all around you. And sometimes it's felt really hard and it's felt like a struggle, like you probably can't talk about it all the time or you can't share them all the time. But I feel like you don't have to worry about it. Your life is going to show it. Your life is going to show Jesus. People are going to start coming to you and saying, why are you like the way you are? What's going on? And they're going to ask you questions and you're going to be able to share Jesus with people who are asking you instead of you trying to tell them. And it's who you are as a young man. You're like, there's an evangelism thing on you that people are going to come to you who need Jesus, who need miracles, who need healing, and you're on this red bike and you're just going to be able to give them the blood of Jesus that covers everything, washes everything away. And I feel like he's putting a new rim on your bike with a brand new tire. It's all filled up. It's all nice and perfect. He's putting it on and you're just going to be like, dang, I didn't know my bike could ride this good. And you're going to start feeling like, wow, I feel like I'm moving so well and so fast in life. So everybody aim your hands at Jesse. God, we bless Jesse as a young man full of balance, that he would just balance life super well. We bless him to have people to come to him and say, what is different about you that makes you like who you are? Why are you so not like all these other kids? What is going on with you? That Jesus, you are going to shine so bright through his life that people will be attracted to him, to come to him and to discover you, that they would discover you when they discovered Jesse. We bless him with the new tire to feel ease and grace on his life and your power in Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen. Jesse, come on, you're awesome. See, I told you, if you had a dream like that, you should have stood up too, but... Huh? You hit the curbs? You gotta not do that. Word. Tim's like, stop crashing those cars. So, family matters. Whew, man, that was good. How many of you know there's so much more to parenting than just disciplining kids? Most of the stuff you learn on parenting, don't worry, if you're not a parent, I'm going to try to make this work for you as well, because the same thing for what I'm going to talk about helps anybody. It can help anyone, everything I'm going to talk about. But when it comes to parenting books, most courses, most anything that has to do with parenting is how to discipline kids better. There is so much more to parenting than disciplining children. Way more than that. So I used to live in a house in a place called Happy Valley, California, which is right down Redding, below Redding. And because it's California, all my neighbors grew a whole bunch of weed. Like, we had this one neighbor had so much weed. When he would dry it to sell it, the whole valley smelled like weed, and he wasn't the only one. And like, we couldn't even go outside because he'd get high. We're like, don't let the kids play outside. They're all smoking and trimming and doing all this stuff. But our other neighbor, this guy had like 10-foot tall plants. He tried to build fences and hide it and all this stuff. You just couldn't hide it. But he didn't want people coming on his land to steal his marijuana, because it's California, right? Like, we do stuff that you guys don't do down here legally. We do legal stuff that you guys do illegal. And so he had this fence, and then he had these three hound dogs. Now, the reason he had hound dogs is because these things, if anyone came on his property to try to take his weed, if anyone came on to try to mess with his whatever, you know, probably got a lot of cash in his house and stuff like that. If anyone came on his property, those three hound dogs would just howl like crazy. They'd just go nuts. So everyone in the whole neighborhood knew somebody's messing with the weed or something, or thinking about it, like, or looking at it. Someone's looking at it, and those dogs are howling. And they lived in this little fence. It was like a little fence this big. It wasn't even as big as all these chairs. It was like from here to the back, and it was these three dogs, and they're out there howling all the time. Drive me nuts. They do it at night because car would drive by. Arr! Like, oh, shut up. These dogs were so annoying, right? And one day I'm outside working, and for like 2 hours at least, these dogs are just howling at me over and over. And I'm like, I might just go get my gun and shoot those dogs. I can't take this anymore. And as soon as I'm thinking that, God interrupts me and he says something like, man, those dogs are really annoying. I'm like, I know. He says, those are hunting dogs. And that's what happens when they don't do what they were born to do. They're born to hunt. And when they don't do it, they become super annoying, just like a lot of people's kids. And I thought, oh, dang. How many parents are annoyed by their kids because they're whining and complaining and howling and whatever all the time, and their parents get so annoyed with their kids. Part of it is their kids are not doing what they were born to do. Look, if you take that hunting dog out, we went hunting. We tried to hunt pigs the other day. We saw nothing. Marvin thinks it's my California smell. They smelled us, and they didn't want to come around. I think if we had a hound dog, that dog, it's the weed. They smell it. It's on my clothes. It's like, I can't get it off. No, just joking. If you took one of those dogs out hunting, that thing would not make a sound until he needed to. But because they're all cooped up in this little tiny thing, not doing what they're born to do, they're making this sound all day, all night, all the time, trying to get shot. Man, I can't tell you how many times I've been like, there's so much more to parenting than simply disciplining your children and correcting your children and making adjustments to your children. There's so much more, because how many of you know, if we just let our children do what they were born to do and gave them a place to do and go after what God put them on the earth to go after, if we just allow them to do that, we'd have a lot less discipline to do. Amen. Think about it. As soon as your kids are doing what they love, it's like, wow, how come you're not fighting? He said, same with us. It's the same with us. I know. You know how it's like, you can just be grumpy or down or whatever and things aren't going good. And as soon as you see somebody that needs help and you just like walk up and you're like, can I just pray for you? And you start to pray for them. It's like, oh, I'm doing what I was born to do. And you come out and you're like, wow, I feel better. Where'd all my problems go? Oh, I don't know where they went because I'm doing what I was born to do. This is so important. Look at this verse in the Bible. It's Proverbs 22:6. We all know this verse. This is the most famous verse when it comes to children. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. This is so important because probably 99% of the church and 99% of parents have interpreted that verse. Here's what they think it says. This is religion interpreting scripture for you. Here's what most people think it says. And if they don't think it says this, this is how they interpret it and live this verse out. I mean, because we walk around as parents, especially down here in the South, you know, we can just parakeet. We can just, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, like, we just quote this thing left and right, up and down, front and back. We're all about quoting this verse. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, brother. Just remember, train him up in the ways that they should go. And then when they're old, they won't. Like, we do this stuff all the time. But then when we actually live it, here's what comes out. Train up our children in the ways they shouldn't go. But unfortunately, there's no promise attached to that, because the promise is only attached to the way they should go. Most of us are telling our kids what not to do, what they can't do, what they shouldn't do, what they don't get to do, what they'll never be allowed to do under this roof. And we tell them all this stuff they can't do and they can't do. Like, the whole point of that scripture is to tell them what they get to do, what they should do, where they should go, what they need to do, what they get to do, what they're allowed to do, what they're supposed to do. And when we do that, they will not depart from it when they're old. Powerful verse right there. But if you interpret it wrong, there is no promise on the end. Because that other verse is not in the Bible. Don't talk like that. Stop doing this. Quit it. Training you in the ways you shouldn't go. Instead of, here's what we should do. Here's what we should do, and then you have a lot less of shouldn'ts. What would happen if we had kids who were actually doing what they were born to do? I tell you what, If our kids, I've seen all those videos. I love it when some kid gets this burning thing inside their heart and they're like, oh, there's a flood in Texas. Well, why don't we raise money? And they're like eight. And they're like, why don't we raise money and buy boats and give them to... And then like, this kid, some kid, just I'm just making this up, but there's a lot of videos like this where some kid gets an idea like that and all of a sudden they bought 10,000 boats because people just gave to them and they bought 10,000 boats. Like, I tell you what, that kid is so focused on what they're doing, they probably don't fight with their sister very much. You know why? Because they're like, how do we get more boats? Come on, sister. How do we get more boats? Who can we talk to? Did you knock on the doors? Yes. Okay, good. I'm going to those doors. You go to those. And like, they're working together, doing what they're here to do. They catch some vision for their life, and they're like running full speed ahead, and they don't even like see all the weird stuff over here because they're so going after what they're here to do. That's what's supposed to happen with our parents, with us. Look at this verse, Proverbs 29:18. You guys good? You with me? Family matters. Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. Where there is no prophetic vision, another version says, where there is no vision, the people perish. That's the same word. Perish is the same word. This is huge. Perish is the same word in John 3:16. I mean, this is Hebrew, that one's Greek, but the interpreters put the same word in there in English for us. God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish. This is up there with, do you believe in Jesus? If you believe in Jesus, you should have a vision. Because if you don't believe in Jesus, you'll perish. If you don't have a vision, you'll perish. If you have problems restraining yourself, keeping yourself on line, on course, on track, it's because you forgot the track. You can't see where you're going anymore. You don't see where you're going, and you're just off every direction, wondering where you're going, wondering what you're doing, because you don't have a vision for where you're going. And a lot of people just perish. This is the same. This is like, think about it. This is up there with believe in Jesus. If we believe in Jesus, we're supposed to have a vision for our homes, for our families, for our lives. Now, here's how I communicate to children having a vision. My daughter gets in the car one day, and she, let me tell you that story in a minute. I want to tell you this real fast. I was in worship, and I realized the internet, I love the internet. I am passionate about the internet. I use the internet every single day to try and better the world and try and help the world and try and give whatever I can to help the world all the time. I love the internet. And the internet right now is revealing very clearly the spirit realm. Why? Because the internet is how the invisible world, it is the invisible world of Earth. And it's showing us the invisible world of the spirit realm. It is revealing how the spirit realm works. Now, here's what you got to understand. On the internet, if you're on Facebook and you see something you don't like, there's something called an algorithm. And if you do not like something, like someone posts something, they're like, I don't agree with that. And you're like, and you're like firing back all these crazy comments and disagreeing and arguing and you're fighting. And then it's like turns into this battle and you've commented like 5 or 6 times on this post. Guess what you just told the algorithm? You just told it, please send me more of whatever I just commented on. And before you know it, the only thing it's showing you, it's only a matter of time before the only thing the internet shows you is what you have told it you want to see. And you tell it what you want to see by what you click on, by what you like, by what you comment on, even if you put a little angry face on, it's telling the algorithm, I like to interact with these kind of posts, with these kind of things. And the algorithm says, oh, you like that? I'll send you more. Oh, you like that? I'll send you. That's why it's really important not to just go get mad and just on people all the time. Because guess what? Pretty soon, all the Facebook is going to do is just send you the same stuff. You have to tell the algorithm what you want. Most of us with our children, it's like, we're like, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. We're giving them the attention they so need. Amen. And guess what we're telling the algorithm of our family? Please give me more of that. Whatever you comment on in your home, you're telling the algorithm of the spirit realm, I would like more of that. Whatever you comment on on the internet, whatever you shop for, I don't know if you know about inbound marketing, but whatever you shop for, all of a sudden, why does it start appearing everywhere? It's like it's finding you. Wow, man, the Lord must be directing me. No, no. You told the invisible world what you want to see, what you want to buy. You told the invisible world, this is what I'm looking for right now. I'm looking for a tent. Wow, look at all those. The tents pop up on Google, on Facebook. They're everywhere. They're on Instagram too. Why are there tents coming everywhere? I guess I should just buy a tent. No, that's called algorithm. That's called spirit realm. It has an algorithm. And if you're pushing on stuff you do not want, you're probably telling it to give you more. Man, that works for porn. That works for everything. Just a little nugget.
Yeah. Come on.
Like, I don't know if you've ever gone on Instagram and you're like, wow, my Discover tab is crazy. What in the world? I need to teach it what to send me. So don't send me that. Send me fewer of those. Send me fewer of those. Send me fewer of those. Ooh, I like that. Yeah, send me more of those. Oh, I like that. You got to understand, you're telling it all the time what you want. And in our families, in our homes, whatever we comment on, that attention, that interaction is telling our children and the spirit realm around our children and around our home, I would like more of that, please. Man, that's just, I had to just say that. Because that doesn't just, that definitely. Whatever's coming onto our screens right now is trying to help us discover more of what we already told it we wanted. And whatever's showing up in our homes, in our families, in our lives, whatever's showing up in our heads, whatever thoughts are coming in our heads, somewhere along the line, we told the spirit realm we want this. This is so important. Let me just make this really clear. This is so important when it comes to our children and giving them something they should do. Like, there are so many times we're like, hey, I don't like it when you do that. That was no fun. I didn't enjoy that. But what about the times where we're like, you know what? When you say those words, it makes my heart so happy. Oh my gosh, when you do that, thank you. That feels so good. You know what I'm doing? I'm programming the algorithm in the spirit realm to say, I love that. But if all I do is say, I'm saying, go ahead and give me more. All right, I'm just going to get off that. You can figure that out yourself. It's really important, though. There is an algorithm in the spirit that is very much like the algorithm of Facebook, just so you know. No, I don't think Facebook is perfect and all and everything's great, but I think God lets things come to the surface in the natural to help us see the invisible. Everything in the natural is revealing the spiritual. Everything is showing us what's going on in the spirit, and there's nothing so clear as the internet. It's how the invisible world works, because it is the invisible world. All right. Man, let me just jump ahead. So here's how I give children vision. My daughter was in the car one day. We jump in the car. We're going to school. It's really cold outside, and we get in the car, and I'm like, wow, it's cold. Let me turn on the heater. And she says, Dad, why is it the same temperature in our car as it is outside? I said, well, babe, because if we don't set the thermostat in the car to what we want, eventually it becomes whatever is going on out there. So if it's really cold outside, if I have not set the temperature to what I want, eventually it becomes what is out there. What's in here becomes what's out there if I don't tell what's in here what I want. If it's hot outside and I don't tell it I want it to 70 degrees in my car, it will eventually become whatever the temperature is out there, and probably hotter.
Right. Yeah.
It'll feel colder inside, and it'll feel hotter inside. It's the same with our. So I started to teach her. I said, it's the same with our home. And I took her over to our thermostat on the wall, this right here that says 73 degrees. Just so you know, the other day, my gosh, I walked into the hotel room, and I get in there, and it is 62 degrees. They had it set at 62. I'm like, dang, what are you guys doing in the South? 62 is going to hurt somebody. Like, I'm shivering in the hotel room. Like, I have to open. I turned it off, and I'm still shivering. I'm trying to, like, read. And I'm like, I can't even read. I'm so freezing. And I open up the window. I'm like, I got to let the heat in. I got to warm this room up. Someone had sent the temperature at a place that was super uncomfortable for me. Super uncomfortable. I don't care how hot it is outside. 62 is cold. Anyway, so I took my kids and my family over to the thermostat. I'm a children's pastor, so I can take anything and teach you a powerful lesson from it. I can teach you a powerful lesson from a chair, from the carpet, from the wall, from the podium, from your shirt, whatever. I can teach you because I've taught kids for like 15 years. But I take my kids to the thermostat and I say, I want you to understand how this works. In our home, whatever we set that on, the thermostat makes these tiny adjustments all the time to make sure that our house stays exactly the way we set it. We pick a temperature that feels good for us, that we like, that when it's hot, we can come in and we're like, oh, wow, our home feels so amazing and refreshing. And when it's freezing outside, we can come in and go, oh, wow, I feel so snuggly. I love my home. It feels so good. I'm not talking about thermostats right now. But I'm explaining to my children, whatever we pick, that thing is, that little box is connected to the furnace and the AC. And as soon as our house adjusts 1 degree up or 1 degree down, it kicks on and it brings the temperature back to where we set it. So I explain this whole thing to them. Unfortunately, many, many Christians don't realize what I taught my children that day. They don't realize this. We are thermostats, not thermometers. Most Christians are thermometers. So most Christians' houses and lives are the exact same temperature, potentially hotter, than whatever the temperature is out there. So most Christians have to come to church, and they come in church like, wow, feels so good in that worship place. Oh, my gosh, wow, this feels good. I feel peaceful. Oh, man, oh. Most Christians come in, because I've been a children's pastor 15 years, most parents come in, and they try to drop off their kids back in the back, and they're like, oh, that's the first time I breathed in a week. And then they come in here, and they're like, wow, I just had to get away from those kids and feel peaceful. Thank you, Jesus. You know what that is? Thermometer. I'm really good at telling you what's going on out there. I'm not very good at changing it.
Amen.
See, a thermometer is powerless. A thermometer is powerful because a thermometer is connected to both the furnace, thermostat is connected to the furnace and the AC, and it can make adjustments to keep the house wherever we set it. A thermometer can't do that. It just tells you where the house is, which is really telling you, if it's not a thermostat, it's telling you what's going on out there. Most Christians live their whole lives like, oh man, the world, this is what's happening. Most Christians are a thermometer for the devil. I'm just going to lay it out there super clear and super loud and clear. Most believers, you would think they believe in the devil more than God. Man, I hear some Christians talk. I'm like, I've actually told people this. I'm like, you sound like you are praising the devil right now. You sound like you're a Satanist, kind of. Like, I know that's hard. That's a hard pill to swallow, but some people just need it rammed down their throat. I know the pill is like 14 feet big, but some people just need it shoved right in. Like, I know you can't open your mouth that big. That's okay. It needs to just be shut for a little bit. Some people talk so, some Christians talk so much about the devil, you'd think they go to a Satanist church. It's all they talk about is the devil and what he's doing in the world. How many of you know we're not supposed to be thermometers for the demons and the devil? We're supposed to be thermostats, and we're supposed to say, this does not look like the temperature that he set in heaven. So it is now my job to tap into the power and make adjustments here on earth so that this place feels like that place. I am not supposed to just say, oh God, let me tell you the temperature of earth. We're supposed to say, what's your temperature? Got it. Now, how do I adjust that here?
Amen.
Man, that's just a good pill. Wow, that pill felt really good. I've told people that right to their face. Like, you sound like you worship the devil. That's all you talk about. Yeah, I know. You need to be shook up a little bit. Thermostats. If you don't know you're a thermostat, here's what happens in your home, in your life. If you don't know you are a thermostat, then all of a sudden you're like, I like 73. That feels good. 73 is nice. Why is my home 100 degrees? It's miserable in my home. And we don't realize, if we don't know we're a thermostat, we don't realize that we should be making small, little, tiny adjustments. Like, we don't even recognize, like, the house just went to 74. Wow, I felt a tiny bit of frustration or anger come into the home. I felt a tiny bit of fear come in. Let's make an adjustment so there's no fear, because we chose no fear, because there is no fear. So we chose no fear here, and let's make sure there's no fear. But most people don't know that. They don't even notice it. A thermostat notices every tiny little change. It's like, oh, 74. No. Back to 73. Most parents are like, how did so much fear get in our home? Why are my kids so afraid? Why am I so angry? Why is it 100 degrees in the house? Oh, I'm supposed to be a thermostat making teeny tiny adjustments all along to just keep us at the temperature we chose for our home, at the atmosphere, the environment we chose for our home. So I took my kids and I said, listen to me, children. You are thermostats, and we are going to choose our temperature, so to speak, in the home, our atmosphere. We're going to choose it together. I'm not going to choose it for you. We are going to choose it together. Most kids feel so powerless in their home because their parents make all the decisions and don't talk to them about it and don't include them in it. And the poor kids are like, I just have to do whatever my parents say, and they have no choice in the matter, and they grow up feeling so powerless that all they do is become a thermometer, and they end up growing up and becoming this person who all they do is go to work, and they're miserable, and they hate it. And they come home from work, and they sit down, and they whine and complain and bicker and moan about their job that they hate, that they don't like, but they're not changing anything because they don't know they're a thermostat. They think they're a thermometer, so all they're supposed to do in their whole entire existence is just tell you what's going on at work and not actually do anything about it. And then they come home and they go like this, click, click, and then they start bickering and moaning and complaining about all the things bad going on in the world. And I'm just tell people like this. I've told so many people, like I said, well, what are you going to do? What do you mean? What am I going to do? What are you going to do? What do you mean? What am I going to do? Do you see what's going on the TV? Like, well, what are you going to do? I mean, you're a thermostat attached to all the power that created the entire universe and the whole planet. Like, who do you think is inside you, and what are you? You're like, give me that stupid remote. Let me take the batteries out and break it. Like, you need to just turn that thing off for like a minute. And we sit in our homes. There's people who've grown up their whole lives. And we sit in our homes and we just thermometer, thermometer, thermometer. And all we do is talk about what's wrong and talk about what's bad and talk about what's going on in the world and in our lives. And we just thermometer the whole world. And I tell my kids, you're not a thermometer. You're a thermostat. You're not here to just bicker and moan about what's wrong. You're here to change it. When we were pregnant, my wife was pregnant with our first kid, someone came to me and goes, you're going to bring a child into this world? You're going to bring a child into a world like this? I said, of course I am, because I'm going to train them to change it. I need more kids so I have more people to change the world. I need more kids who've grown up in a home that feels so much like heaven. When they go out into the world, they notice, this does not feel like my house feels. I need to change this so it feels like that, because that feels like that. And I want that here. And I was told as a little child, I'm supposed to bring heaven to earth. But in my home, if I do not learn how to do it in my home where it's safe, I'll never be able to do it in the world where it is not safe. So I took my kids and I said, listen, let's pick. And we started to pick. Do we want love or do we want fear? Well, love. All right, so you don't want to feel afraid in our home? No, I don't want to feel afraid. Me neither. Okay, let's write that down. Shh, love. What else? We want to feel anger? We want to feel peace. Peace. You like peace? I like peace. You know, God likes peace. God is peace. That's good. Let's write that down. We love peace. Do we want patience or do we want like rushing? Patience. Oh, you don't want to feel rushed all the time and pushed all the time? No, I don't want to feel rushed all the time. I want patience. All right, let's write patience down. We wrote all these things down, and my kids are involved in the whole conversation. And just the other day, I'm with my kids. I'm trying to get them ready for bed. We're all in the room. We're getting ready to go to sleep, and I'm sitting on my son's bed. My daughter's on her bed, and we're talking. And I have this really powerful statement because I never tell my kids, don't talk like that. I say things like this. Oh, I'd love to keep talking about this as soon as your voice sounds like mine. Why? I'm providing the atmosphere I want them to give back to me. Hey, we can keep talking as soon as your voice sounds like this. But if you're yelling, I don't want to talk. I want to talk to you. But when our voices sound just like this. So we're in the bedroom, and I'm trying to get them to sleep. And I say, when it comes to kids, you can do all the right things and say all the right things, but they can tell what's really going on inside. I said, babe, we can keep talking about this as soon as your voice sounds like mine. She says, but Daddy, your voice sounds angry. You know what she did? Dad, it's 74 in here, and I think we're supposed to be at 73. And I realized, oh no, I opened a window somewhere in the house. I opened a window to let frustration in the house, to let anger in the house. I opened up a window, and anger came into the house, and now she can tell it feels weird in here. Just saying the right words, but it feels wrong. You're saying, you're not trying to control me, but it feels like you're trying to control me here. Dad, it's 74, and we're supposed to be 73, Dad. Like, oh, I better go shut the window. So I took a minute and said, you know what, I'm sorry. I apologize. Please forgive me. You're right. I'm feeling frustrated because you guys aren't moving quicker, and I'm sorry that I'm rushing you and pushing you, and I'm frustrated with you. And I shut the window by apologizing to my own children. Oh my gosh, most people never apologize to their kids when they don't actually live like God lives towards us. The most powerful thing you can do as a parent is say, look, I'm sorry. Please forgive me because I was acting like someone I shouldn't be acting like. Please forgive me. You just shut the window. Anger can't come in the house anymore because I apologized to my daughter and I changed this real quick. I said, I'm sorry. Let's work on this. Let's work on getting to bed now. You're right. You know why she did that? She's not a thermometer. She can tell when anything comes in the home that doesn't belong there because she has a vision. The only reason she can tell is because she knows exactly what it's supposed to feel like. When she knows what it feels like, what it's supposed to feel like, she knows when it feels off. Yeah. If you don't know what it's supposed to feel like, you don't recognize when it's off. Man, that is good. Some of us have grown up, like, I don't know if you know this, but most people, unless they've seen something different, they end up raising their family the exact same way their parents raised them. And then we say things like, well, how? Like, I've heard so many stories where it's like, people are like, wah, 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 and they're like, that's my mom's finger. How did I get my mom's finger? That was my dad's voice. How did I get my dad's voice? Oh, no one's ever shown you anything different. You've never chosen any. You didn't know there was another option. You thought that's just your normal, so it becomes normal. But it's not heaven, necessarily. Just because something's normal doesn't mean it's his normal. Just because it's normal for us or usual for us or typical for us doesn't mean it's normal, typical, or usual for him. How does he parent us? Not like that. Now, one of the things that's happened, it's not even a big deal at all. But my kids are so powerful, there's times like they just have a lot of power in the home to make calls and make decisions as long as they're making decisions according to what we've all chosen. They have so much power in the home because they're thermostats. But the one thing that happens sometimes, my daughter will be like trying to get her brother. She's like disciplining her brother and doing all this stuff. I'm like, hey, babe, you know what? That's a dad call. That's a mommy and daddy decision, mom and dad call. That's not a sister decision. Let us handle that. Thank you for working on it. But she feels so powerful. She's like already feels like a parent. She's like, I got this. We were in Disney. She was in Disney World. My kids were in Disney World, the older ones, with their grandparents. And they're in line, and these two brothers are fighting in front of them. You know Disney World. You're all hot, and you're all sweaty, and you're all waiting in line forever. And these two boys are fighting just, and the parents are just kind of like, whatever. I'm just hot and bothered too, so I'm just going to let you fight. And they're fighting. And my daughter's like, hey, you know what? You're really hurting right now because of what you're doing, and you have a mess with him. You're hurting him, and that's why he's so angry and trying to fight you. But this is all because you're hurting him, and you need to apologize to him and clean up your mess. You got a mess. You need to apologize to him, and you need to forgive him. And as soon as you do, this whole thing's going to go away. And they're like, and the parents are like, they looked at the grandparents like, where did this? Who is this? And my daughter leads them to apologize and forgive. She sozoed the kids right in front of her. She doesn't even know the word sozo yet. She's sozoing them, but she knows forgiveness and cleaning up your mess and apologizing, and she knows how to make adjustments to the atmosphere around her that are different than the atmosphere she has chosen to live in. She lives in an atmosphere that is so contrary to the world around her. She just has so much, but she has this confidence to say, oh, this isn't how it's supposed to be. You like living like that? No? I can help you. Do you like feeling grumpy all the time and frustrated all the time and angry? Do you like fighting all the time? No, I don't like that. Well, here's what you do. She's a thermostat, not just in the home, in the world. If we can teach our children how to be thermostats right in the home, we're preparing them to grow up and actually do something in the world that makes the world look like heaven. But guess where it starts? Right here. In our four walls. Our four walls are like a tiny planet. And if they learn it in our four walls, they can do it anywhere. Let me just tell you where this all comes from. So this is like... I showed you all those other things. I've actually decided a year ago, I realized, like, I've always known that in church, most churches have babysitting for the kids and powerful stuff for the adults. It's powerful worship, powerful ministry times. Not this church, obviously not this church. I know this church. I know what's going on back there. I poked my head back in there and saw what's going on with your children. What's happening with your children right now is just as good as anything going on in here. And that's how you recognize the culture of a church. If it's happening with the adults and the children, it's a culture. If it's happening with the adults but not the kids, it's not a real culture. That's how you recognize it in a church. But let me tell you how you recognize it in a Christian. If it happens in the church but doesn't happen in the home, it's not a culture. Culture means lifestyle. Christianity is not a Sunday morning, Wednesday night deal. Christianity is who we are, not what we do. We don't wake up early to go do the Christian thing on Sundays. We are Christians. It's who we are. It's not something we do sometimes. We can't not do it because it's who we are. And I decided a year ago, like, I just have to aim at families as hard as I can, because if this thing does not get in the home, if hearing God's voice is not in the home, if encountering God through the Bible is not in the home, if being filled with the Holy Spirit is not in the home, if prophecy is not in the home, if healing the sick is not in the home, if generosity is something we do when the bucket comes by, but we don't do it when the homeless goes by, then it's not real generosity.
Amen.
I mean, part of the deal, like, so what I did was I created a whole course. I took everything I know, not everything, a bunch of stuff I know about children's working with kids and in the kingdom and working and changing earth to look like heaven. I took the whole thing and I put it in 5-minute videos for parents to watch on their phones, only 5 minutes. And it's like You can watch it on your phone. Then you have something to do in your home to actually bring the kingdom into your home. And the first thing we talk about in the whole entire course, it's a three-month course. The whole thing in the three-month course starts with choosing with your family, with your kids, what exactly you want your house to look like. Everybody knows what they don't want. Most people don't have a clue what they do want. Most people are programming an algorithm to give them more of what they don't want instead of simply programming it to give them what they do want. And when you choose what you do want, when you actually intentionally choose it, you start to see it happen more and more. So I created this whole course, and we have good news. In January, you guys are the first church that's going to pilot the whole thing. Right now, it's just been an individual course where parents can buy, you get the book, you get the journal, and you get all the videos, 26 videos, and it's just 10 minutes a week. And you go in here and you watch the video, you read the book, and then here, our home, the family atmosphere, the doll family atmosphere, our home will be full of whatever you write down. And it's how to do all of this. It has all these sweet pictures. But here's what's going to happen. Those are available for you to get right now yourself. But what we're going to do in January, too, is everyone who has those or doesn't and wants to can get them. And we're actually going to do a class here where you actually watch the videos and you have small groups to help you and actually take this stuff that you're learning here and get it into your home and get it with your kids and teach them in a way that's super simple and practical that they understand it and you understand it. See, here's what Albert Einstein said. He said, if what you know you can't communicate it to a four-year-old, you don't actually know it. He said, you only really truly know whatever it is you can communicate so a four-year-old understands. So what I've done is said, you know what? I know how to communicate so simple a four-year-old can get it. No problem. Let me help parents communicate simply, so simply to their children that they get it too. I've had so many parents like, wow, I finally got that. Like, I know, because you had to learn like a child. You had to learn as if you're a little kid. You had to have it so simple it made perfect sense. Jesus did it all the time. You're like a city on a hill. What's he looking at? The city on a hill. You're like a lamp. You're like a lamp. And don't put something over. He's like going, you know he's going like this. Don't be putting stuff over the lamp. Let it shine. And they're sitting in the house and he's just teaching them simple lessons that are profound. So we're going to do the class where you actually watch and then you'll have groups to hold each other accountable to actually do it and help each other. And then every 4 weeks, I'm going to FaceTime in and do live Q&A where we'll actually interact and I can help you figure this out and bring it into your home. You guys are going to be the first church we do this with. We're about to release it all around the world and we're going to do this in churches everywhere. And then we're going to morph into after that, if you want coaching or stuff like that, you can even get private coaching and all kinds of amazing stuff. And then we're putting out 2 books. Oh my gosh, we're about to pound out the family stuff like crazy. But all the stuff we're doing begins with this one thing. You have to know what you're going for. You have to know how to, you simply have to decide with your family, this is what we're going to do here.